Yo, and welcome to today's Team Rocket Podcast. This is James doing one of our, I guess you could say, expansion packs, as Jesse calls it. I'm just going to refer to it as me shooting the shit, saying what's up to everybody, and going over some things in video games I personally really like that Jesse and I never really had a chance to talk about on a normal podcast. Like, there's a few things that I really, really like, and one of the main things that draws me to pretty much anything is the sound design, as well as the overall, like, soundtrack. Me and Jesse kind of talked about this briefly in a few episodes, but there are a few games that really stand out in my mind, mainly just because of the soundtrack. One of them, well, its entire series for the most part, in its 16-bit iteration, is the Sonic the Hedgehog franchise. Mainly Sonic 3 and Sonic 1. Not even gonna lie, Sonic 2 has some really, like, good tracks I think about all the time whenever I'm listening to or playing through the game. Sometimes I get bored on YouTube. I'll listen to, like, Chemical Plant Zone, Mystic Cave Zone, Hilltop Zone. Pretty much everything I just said, though, oddly enough, is from Sonic 2. But there's also Starlight Zone, Marble Hill Zone, and the list goes, like, on and on and on. That was the main thing I really liked about Sega games in general, is the fact that every level seems different. And to drive that idea, you have, like, different themes for different levels. Even, excuse me, for, like, Mario's main thing uses maybe, like, one or two themes throughout the entire, like, I think it's 20 levels or more that each game will have. Like, if you go back and you play Super Mario World, there's only really three actual themes. Whereas the Sonic team and Sega in general really went out of their way to make every individual level feel unique, to the point where Sonic 3 and Sonic and Knuckles, from act to act, the actual sounds, the soundtrack will change. The music changes, and I really, really like that. And to that same coin, as much as I like the individuality of every single level in Sonic, and how I kind of dissed Mario a little bit, my bad, Nintendo and Mario fans, Nintendo did do it right in terms of themes when it came to The Legend of Zelda. Like, to this day, The Legend of Zelda, specifically The Legend of Zelda Link to the Past, even with this, like, limited amount of songs, it still manages to be one of my favorite hands-down soundtracks for the Dark World theme as well as the Light World temples. The overall theme is really catchy as well, and a lot of things like that just make one to sit and play through a game. There's nothing that really can make me play a game. Like, again, no matter how good the graphics are, if the sound effects aren't right or the soundtrack isn't good, I'm really not going to stick around for, like, 40-plus hours, especially in an adventure game like Zelda, if the, like, soundtrack is boring after the first, like, 30 to 35 minutes of the game. Like, I can sit and play Sonic all day for the fact that I can just listen to those songs all day. And the same with The Legend of Zelda. I spent a lot of time with Link to the Past when I was younger. A lot of people don't know this, and it's like around the time I was in fifth grade, I came down with Bell's palsy, and, like, I had it really bad to the point that I had to wear an eye patch because my left eye wouldn't close. And during that time, I did nothing but play my Super Nintendo. And the game I really played a lot was The Legend of Zelda, because, again, the soundtrack was really cool, and it really kept me into doing the temples, so I could sit there, and the music actually is calming, and actually, in a weird way, helped me solve the temples, because it never really got out of hand to where the music was overpowering the actual experience that I was playing through. Another really good one soundtrack-wise, so I know a lot of you should know, hopefully do know, is the Donkey Kong Country series. It has, in a very similar vein to Sonic, where Rare went out of their way to make every single level, for the most part, sound different. The Brambles song is probably still to this day my top five favorite, like, video game soundtrack songs. And mainly because of, like, how ambient it sounds. It sounds more like if they took an ambient sound and found a way to replicate it, amplify it, and then they added, like, essential things like pitch change, key change, and, like, a beat to it that made an actual song that just sticks in your head. And it's really soothing, again, kind of like what they did with the Legend of Zelda stuff, where when you're playing it, it relaxes you enough to where you can actually think through the level as you're playing it, and it kind of calms you down. And I really like that, like, a lot, a whole lot. And then I guess that's the closest part out on the soundtrack as far as they go, is my personal favorite Final Fantasy, besides Final Fantasy IV, which might shock some people, is going to be Final Fantasy X. I love the soundtrack to that game. And I'm not going to be set to the fact that it was the first one to be introduced on the PlayStation 2, which also opened up not only doors to the, I guess you could say, the voice acting, because the disc capacity was a lot greater and it can actually help the game along, but also the overall just, like, soundtrack to Final Fantasy X is amazing. I hate the HD remake version. It's like they decided to, instead of enhancing the music, they did what a lot of remixers do and change the textures just for the change of, oh, it's an HD sake, versus, you know what I'm saying, just making it a really cool soundtrack. The Besaid theme, Challenge, Hurry, and I want to say The Other World are still some of my favorite themes in the game, which, again, it kind of, when you're playing a game that lasts 100 plus hours, if you do all the mini games and do everything, you want to have a game that the soundtrack doesn't bore you to the point where you just want to walk away from it or play it on, put it on mute, which is a big thing, especially back when it came out, because you couldn't really like just pop on your own personal playlist outside of turning on a boombox next to you, because it was like 2001 or 2002. So the really, I guess the really bad and really odd part about that is you had to stick with it. So the soundtrack had to be amazing, and it didn't really falter there at all. And in terms of like the soundtracks for video games, that's still also one of the games that are my top five. And I guess to go along with that, we do have character design. Character design is also really huge for video games. Character design, sound design, and then of course the level design or world design. There's a few games that really stand out to me in terms of just character design that just makes me want to play the games because the characters look not only realistic but badass depending on what game we're playing. One, again, Sonic and Mario are always going to have a special place in my heart, as well as a lot of people in my age range, because of the simple fact that those are some of the first games that any of us had ever played, especially with Sonic has a really soft spot with me because it was one of the first games I really played and beat by myself when I was like 6 or 7 years old. I really like the designs and the idea of using robots with little animals trapped inside of them. Sadistic as it sounds, I really, 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 really like the most, if not all, of the robot designs in Sonic the Hedgehog. The thing that kind of keeps me away from liking the character design in Mario is it never really changes enough, and it looks, sounds weird to say because it's about a video game, they look too cartoony. But if I did have to say one of the character designs in that game I really did like is Yoshi. Yoshi has a lot of really cool designs, and if it weren't for Game Freak, he probably wouldn't even look like that. Because the original idea of Yoshi was he's going to be a rideable Koopa, and then along the lines, they decided to make it a dinosaur. Which brings me to my next one, which is a really funny segue. Speaking of Game Freaks, Pokemon. And as you'll hear throughout the podcast series, as long as we keep this going, Pokemon is one of my hands-down favorite games, competitive or otherwise. I never grew out of a 13-year-old boy, even though I'm now 6'3 and 280 pounds, believe it or not. I really like the designs of the characters in those games. Especially, like, from if you look at the original 150/151, they didn't really have that much to work with, not really knowing the limitations of what they could fit on the cartridges for a Game Boy. Not even a Game Boy Color or a Game Boy Advance. It's a regular Game Boy, and they're working with limited green saturation in that generation as well. So a lot of the things that Masuda and some of the other designers had to do was mainly in designing the characters for, I guess, the like guides that came out, and the books, and the cartoon, and so on and so forth. Which even then, the anime changed a lot of the original character designs. If you go back and you look at the original Junichi Masuda and some of the other artwork for Pikachu, he looked entirely different than he did in the anime. And then since that's what took off, that's what they followed. It was just good and bad. But again, I digress. Back to the original statement I was making. Each of the Pokemon looked devastating or pretty or just epic. Like you wanted to have all of them. Or made you fall in love with certain ones. You wanted them specifically on your team. Like to this day, even in competitive, even as garbage as it is now, I love Arcanine. And Arcanine's just overall design makes me want to keep it on my team, as well as Charizard, Blastoise, Poliwrath, and a couple other ones. Just overall design and how much care went into making each one of them. And all their themes flowed and fit really well, even though I'm still kind of confused why Charizard was never originally just a dragon, because he looks like, let's face it, a medieval dragon. But he is one now, but whatever. Pokemon, because the overall design still looks awesome. Even with some of the newer ones that some people hate, like Vanilluxe, or Trabador, or some of the other just dumb ones, which I have to say, some of them just do boggle my mind. I still love the Pokemon games for the overall design and like how it makes you want to have them on your team or actually own them if they're real things or plushies or whatever you can actually buy them as. Another one that has some of my favorite character designs, which I mentioned a few minutes ago as well, is Final Fantasy, especially 4, 7, and 10. Some of the creature designs overall were awesome. Not only that, but Final Fantasy 7 with its setting and stuff made some of the characters look really unique. For the first time, again, we had like better rendering. They moved around in 3D. They weren't nearly as well designed as they were for Final Fantasy VIII, but again, it was the first one with that generational system. And I had to work with the limitations at that time, especially with how big that game was. But I did like the design of Barret, Cloud, Tifa, and in fact, their entire team. Red 13, to this day, is still one of my favorite characters. Again, much like the Pokemon, he has just like this look where it's like, if I had a fight with somebody, I'd want to fight with him. A talking, ancient, Native American lion thing, which is really hard to explain, but it's still, to this day, one of my favorites. One of my favorites, hands down. There's also a lot of really cool design for the enemy characters, the bosses, like the weapons for Final Fantasy VII, Sapphire, Ruby, and Emerald. And then for Final Fantasy X, the Omega weapons were really cool, really well designed as well. Those characters didn't really resonate that well with me. It was more the story and then the creature hunting and again, the soundtrack that really did it for me. Final Fantasy IV, with designs of Kane specifically, he's hands down my favorite character across the entire universe of the Final Fantasy games. And stuff like that, just like the extra care they took in his armor, and little by little through each remake, he looked a little cooler. But again, all has to do with the core concepts of what you personally think is cool and what you want to keep playing with for hours. Like, you want something that looks so cool and so intricate that you would want to play that thing or as that character like nonstop. Over and over and over and over and over and over, or at least until you get bored and want to play a different game where you finally beat it and you don't want to play it anymore and you finally get up and walk away. And I guess in terms of another really good game with really good character and creature designs, I have to give a huge shout out to Silent Hill, which should have actually made the soundtrack one too. Silent Hill's character designs are amazing. Some of them may look flat, but it takes a lot more than just first glance to really see why they're creepy. A lot of it has to do with psychology. Jesus, I can't talk. With psychology and the baser fears of what we're all afraid of. Silent Hill, especially Silent Hill 2, use a lot of sexual and BDSM stuff to really drive home the fact that this is not right. Especially Pyramid Head and the mannequins. They just look unnerving. They look like they shouldn't exist in anybody's imagination. Why is this a thing? Who came up with this, basically? And a lot of that, again, too, just shows really good conceptual design and knowing. It's like, I can't even say that word. And a baser instinct in a psychology-based game, it really messes with your head. It's a lot of cool stuff that they, and little things of the texture and how, like, their skin texture and the bruises seem to move. They're not just one static design. It just all flows together. But again, Silent Hill, especially, actually all of them were just really unnerving. Even the one on the PlayStation, things just look like they should not exist, which they don't, thank God. But there's a lot of really, really cool things in there that they really just took the time to make each of the creatures have different types. So there's different types of mannequins, there's different types of screaming babies, there's different types of bobblehead nurses that look different enough that you just know that you hadn't seen it before, even if you play the game time and time again. They have a huge, huge, huge list of things that I'm glad I don't see in my nightmares anymore. And like, I give them all the credit in the world for actually coming up with a creature design for overall. And you know what? I think that that's going to end this first little iteration to, I guess, my version of what Jesse normally calls an expansion pack. It's kind of short. I was really just testing it out to see what I could come up with. And if you guys like this kind of thing, I can actually upload more, or I can put it on YouTube, whichever one you guys would like. Because I really, really like talking to you guys and Jesse about other things in video games that I really like. And I guess that's it. And as Jesse says, we're blasting off, or I'm blasting off anyway. I don't know what that jerk's doing. And hopefully I'll hear from you guys. You guys will hear from me pretty soon on a full-blown episode, not just one of the expansion packs. And I am blasting off again.